see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambill. I am the host of this program, and we've been doing this now for about 5 years. Yeah. First it was New World Order Fighters. A bit martial it was. Then it was Watchman Chronicles. That's more biblical, is it not? Watchman, etc. And now I had to change it to Watchman for Jesus. There's your evolution. It evolved from New World Order mumbo jumbo to the reality of what you're facing today. We're going to talk today about the American Spring, the coming March tomorrow, allegedly. And, they had one May the 1st. I met I would say coincidence. One night, back 2 weeks ago, a veteran was passing through this small town in Mount Airy that I live in. And he had the cap on, Iraq veteran, or sometimes they say Korean veteran or Vietnam veteran. I said, oh. So I let him eat for a while, and then I sort of broke in and said, hi. I'm a former Marine, and I just noticed your hat there, and you know how the conversation goes, typically. And he said they had a march on the 1st of May. I really can't confirm that, except what he told me, because it wasn't hardly in the news. They had said they were going to have a march. A lot of people out there, 1 May, allegedly. How come it didn't make all the news, or even the YouTube or something? Big deal out of it. I don't know. It wasn't made such a big deal. It's like hush hush, or they marched. Nothing happened, supposedly. I don't know. I just know he told me that, and I see it on the Alex Jones presentations. No, didn't see it anywhere. Maybe I missed it. But it wasn't. I normally go through the news every day for hours and hours and hours, and I got people that search too, and that are friends, and they send me stuff, and not a word was heard. Not even a mouse. So what happened that 1 May, the anniversary date of the New World Order revolutionary plan? May the 1st, 1776, supposedly they had a march. So, they have been talking about this one on the 16th of May. I got some things to say about that. Some background that y'all need to know. It would be nice if some of the folks marching would have some of this knowledge of this background I'm going to tell you today. It'd get people thinking about what they're really involved in. I don't think the highest level know. I think the ones that really, sincerely are marching and for our rights and all that stuff, I don't think they really know what they got themselves involved in and what really the truth of the background. We live in a world of deception. That is the rule, not the exception. It is the reality that we live in this world of deception. It's the rule. It always has been. And as American people, which of course is all cultures, have not been told. They've been kept busy with a facade called Declaration of Independence. It's been a facade since the day it was ever formed and signed. Majority of our founding fathers were deists and Freemasons. Of course, now they want you to know that, see. They want you to know that this was established on a fraud basis. They want you to know this. Because since 1945-46 was an attack against America began internally by our own government, controlled by the Vatican and the Illuminati, etc. And it began in 1945-46. Was when the operations actually started to take down the United States of America incorporated. We are incorporated. We are a business, not a country. As is British Israel, Canada, and Australia are still colonies of England and always have been since the beginning, 1600s. We never won our independence, in other words. That's another lie. But the reason that the controlled opposition on the news media and alternative news speakers and all that want you to know this is I'm going to take a step further. You see, they want you to know what I'm telling you now, so it will take away your pride and your sovereignty and all that, which we held as an idol, so that you'll be all disappointed in our country and all this. And move away from being American. It's been lately, the past year has recorded just an amazing number of Americans that have renounced their citizenship. For what? Why renounce it? The worldwide government is going to take over. Worldwide has a particular ring to it. Worldwide. Renouncing the U.S. citizenship doesn't mean anything anyway. You're renouncing membership of a corporation. That's what you're doing. It's almost silly, really. If they knew the story. So it's working what they're doing. And as I said before, the plan goes back a long time ago. And in 1945, just to kind of lay the stage out, and I'm going to dedicate the broadcast here, like this time really soon, because I got a lot to talk about today, to bring you up to speed. Because the lawyers are liars, and the judges that you have, that you put on the bench, and they're a bunch of liars, and they've taken a blood oath. I know a couple down in Winder that are actually warlocks on the bench. I see a conflict of interest there, a little bit of a one. If you've got a warlock and a Freemason on the bench, that's impossible. and you can't be a Christian and a Freemason. That's impossible. You can't do it. They think they can, but they cannot. After 1946, Brock Chisholm said to lay the groundwork, and I quote Brock Chisholm, director of the United Nations World Health Organization, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas," unquote. And to match up with that, the actual agenda of the Illuminati in their planning process is to demonstrate and show and have the world population, especially United States, personages, citizens, whatever you want to call them, us, to acknowledge the worthlessness of government. This is the effort. This is the big agenda. So now, how do we do that? And that's where they have the police that are Freemasons at the highest level and felons that's been placed into your police departments. That's a fact. To do illegal shootings, kill your dogs. They're told to do this. You understand this, right? They're told to do this. They want to create this despondency. They want to create this dissatisfaction on purpose. All policemen? No. I really feel for those good policemen that are under this blue code to be quiet while their other policemen partners are a bunch of ragbags and they're following the blood oath of the Freemasonry and they're following their agenda that they learned in prison that some of their fellow officers don't even know about to carry out this New World Order and to be a part of the multi-jurisdictional task force that was formed back in the 90s. It goes back to President Clinton. Actually, it goes back to Adolf Hitler, who we brought over in 1945-46. The velvet glove on the steel fist is sneaking up on you. Operation Achilles, all sorts of little goodies they've set up. The secret police force is being brought over here. Belgium, Dutch, German, French, Asian, Islamic. It's part of financial crime enforcement network personnel that people don't know about. The mercenaries they brought over here. The fact that our country is divided into 10 regions, 5 states each, since 1972, thanks to Nixon. That little sneaky, poor, lying president. His cousin, Ford, and the rest of them. All FDR, the whole lot of them. I've got evidence for everything. Family. Literally, it's evolved in a supernatural realm. This is what's going on. No human being has the intelligence nor the ability of any long-term planning such as it is. It's impossible. It's not possible. One president would think something else. He would change something. Or one royal family member would change something over the generations. But don't you find them, when you do the research, that they're all in concert with each other? Given they have their own inner conflicts and the Illuminati on the America is against the Illuminati in Europe. There's no good guys in this at all. And any good guys that might exist, if they make any kind of effort to change things, they die. Or set up, or put out, or die in a car crash, or a family member dies in a car crash, or some kind of accident. That's reality. It's not movies. It's real. They will go at all costs to get this New World Order. If it takes generations and generations and hundreds of years, they plan ahead for their future generations going back centuries, passed on one generation to the next. They start training their little pagans at 5 years old to 8. By the time they're 12 to 14 years old, they're already teaching groups. They're already way ahead of the average teenager. They're miles and miles ahead. And they go through horrific, unbelievable pain, unbelievable training and desensitization process of to desensitize them to murder, human sacrifice, planning. Atlas Shrugged is a planning book for them. That's what that really is. Ayn Rand, one of the most evil women on the face of this planet, besides many others, but she's one of them. Total evil resides in that woman. She was the mistress of Philip Rothschild. Wrote the handbook, the instruction booklet for the Illuminati called Atlas Shrugged, 1957, under a fictional storyline, but it's actually a textbook hidden under some fiction. Anthony Sutton, Carol Quigley, just felt it should be told. He's one of them, but he felt, I don't care, I'll tell you. Tragedy and Hope. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma. It's all laid out for you. It's all under your noses. Except one thing. They've never been able to accomplish it totally. They add to it every generation of their plan of people to form it, to carry it through, has been thwarted in the last minute to bring in their New World Order. Notice that. The New World Order is submerged right now, but it's emerging little by little, like a newly formed island, like a volcano. There you go. So all of a sudden you see the tip of the, what is that? That's a new island. Whoa. Then overnight you see it come up. There, where did that island come from? It comes from the depth of the ocean, the depth of hell. And there it is, and it's there. Well, that's what the New World Order is going to do. Except this will be in a 2-hour period. When everything's in place, just like dominoes. They get all the dominoes set up. But God keeps knocking them down. You see, that's what they don't realize. The ones at the highest level, oh, they know. They just, okay, that was thwarted. Now let's move on to the next generation. That's the game going on. I'm going to give you details today. Tomorrow should be a very interesting day. My warning today is to the militia, is to the, well, now I wonder about the militia nowadays. If that's not the militia, it's not the foreign troops and the paid mercenaries with some military personnel versus the patriots, so forth. There is a separation there. General, that's a Freudian slip. Sheriff Apayo says he'll put 30 rounds in any of the militia that mess with his guys. So I said, wait a minute. Something funny going on here. A little division happening. In the militia, the sheriffs, patriots and sheriffs supposed to be together or something? What's the deal here? Or it's the militia, the mercenary groups, the European mercenaries and killers and Americans that don't really care. I don't know. But there's some kind of division going on there. If that's what Apayo says, well, I got the quotes. Articles are, you can look it up right now. Everything I say you don't agree with, look it up right now. As I go along, make your little fingers busy. I don't believe what this guy says on radio. Oh, it is there. And just don't take one article. That's ridiculous. Don't ever take just one article for anything. You must go with many articles. That's how you do it. You don't just take one person. Lord, no. No way. You see. Not just one, but many. Prayer is the answer. I don't believe in religion. Religion is there to hide God, to hide Jesus Christ. Religion was created by the Great White Brotherhood, and it has nothing to do with color of skin white. It has to do with the color white, not skin color. No. You got the Red Brotherhood, the Black Brotherhood, and the Great White Brotherhood. These are three levels of the Illuminati at the highest level. A lot of people don't know about it. And they control the world. they have as slaves, the kings and queens, Queen Elizabeth. She's nothing more than a slave to the brotherhood. That's all she is. Same with the Pope. Nothing more than a slave to the gray Pope. He does what the gray Pope, Pippi Orsini, tells him to do. As does the black Pope, Adolfo Nicholas. Answer to the gray Pope. The gray Pope is Pippi Orsini. Orsini is a member of the Roman Illuminati, the real Illuminati. And he's a connecting to the Committee of the 300, who goes back to the royalties of today. This is what really goes on. And America is nothing more than a colony, that's all. We always have been. Now you see how it works. So when you have American spraying coming up and sovereign states, there's no such thing as state sovereignty. That's a facade, always has been. It's to placate the American public. That's why the Chinese have bought our debt, and they have placed, as our government knows, Ron Paul knows, I'm sure, unless he's ill-informed, Chinese have 257-plus foreign trade zones, which is sovereign Chinese territory. You might as well call it 257 consulates or embassies, if you want to. That encompasses miles and miles and miles. And they brought in, you want to call them traders or whatever, Americans that work for them. And you can't buy any property within these foreign trade zones. They own America. The land was given to them by the Clintons. Look up... The 1993 China Gate. Oh, it's old stuff, but people don't keep track of it. I'm going to lay a lot of it out today and give you some details. I'm not a lawyer, but I got some details that go along with that. If I'm wrong, somebody correct me. No problem. And I'll correct it on the air, but I've done a lot of research on this. Lord, we come today before you in prayer. Father, we raise this broadcast up to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Father, convict us when we fall away and we move on our own, Lord, that you put us back on track. Lord, for those praying honestly, earnestly, sincerely, Lord, you touch their hearts. And those that's listening, Father, you touch their hearts too, that the Holy Spirit will descend upon them. Father, we are praying for help. We are praying for inspiration and guidance and wisdom and discernments from the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for these marching tomorrow. Lord, you protect them. That, Lord, you will bring a protection to eliminate the technology that will be used against them. Father, to reveal, to expose those that are inside these groups, that of those of ill intent, evil on their mind, that you'll expose who they are. And, Father, that thy will be done. But, Father, we ask you to forgive us that we have in this country been pulling away. But, Father, we need time to use additional time to witness to others. And, Father, to use the set of tragedies to, in your name, in your glory, to stop the pain, stop the treachery, that, Father, we can exalt your name above all others. And, Father, through any instant that may happen, any tragedies that occur, that, Father, that there'll be conversions. And that Satan will lose in this war. Because, Father, we know that's going to happen anyway. But, Father, we ask for more time, if that be your will. We know the time is short by the signs we see. And the signs of the times have increased. Father, we pray for our veterans. For those that's put on the psychotropic drugs, that, Father, you render null and void the effects of these drugs that cause these suicides, that cause this pain, that destroys families, destroys their bodies. Father, we call upon you to stop the technology that causes this voice to skull, this talking in their heads. That, Lord, is caused by technology, that, Father, you silence that technology and destroy it. And, the Father, instead of evil to go over this march tomorrow, that, Father, you spread the Holy Spirit, that there'll be a victory tomorrow, a victory of togetherness, solidarity, and exposure of truth. We pray for the leaders to gain wisdom and discernment about what to do and where the power really lies through the blood of Jesus. We pray for children, Lord, that's being abducted, targeted for this wicked sacrifice that's going on, especially now and through June. Father, we know that these tragedies are occurring now, the heavy rains, the tornadoes, the earthquakes, avalanches, these fires in California, the heavy water and floods in the south, the ferries, these things are being caused and caused for sacrifices in all the four elements. Father, we know about the witchcraft that, Father, you put that down. That you override this supernatural involvement, and Father, you close up those portals and drive those demons back to where they came, if that be your will. Lord, we know that America's been pulling away, so Father, that it may be long gone, Father, but it's up to you. We pray for the best to come out of it. Father, we pray for our family members. We pray for the individuals that we've prayed for in the past of those going through divorces, those going through physical maladies and problems, that, Father, you take those demons out, you protect them with the blood of Jesus, not be demonized, not to be touched, to give them a peace of mind, and keep Satan at bay. And, Father, to bring peace to those seeking that who pray to you. We pray for the courage of the clergy today. We pray that they'll move away from these controlled churches and committees and councils and all this other nonsense, Lord, that you'll bring them out of the church and you'll put to them, Father, the fire to preach the Word of God. And, Father, to raise up the King James Bible, that it is the only true Word of God that's been delivered to us. That, Father, you bring that out, that you exalt this Holy Word and Holy Scriptures. That, Father, there's so much deception in most all the churches, synagogues, and the cathedrals. The Father, the church is where two or more are gathered. The Father, religion has infiltrated into the body of Christ. The Father, we pray that it be exposed for what it really is. We pray for protection against the Wicca, to tear down their protection, Lord, and expose them for who they are. And for those lost souls that's left, that you bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts and guide them to your Son, Jesus, and to break the bonds of their bondages and their mind control and break it down and guide them to Jesus Christ. These things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, y'all got your round to it. Got a round to it, and let's get her done. You ever see my round to it? Draw a round circle. In the round circle, you print out T-U-I-T in capital letters. That's a to it. A round to it. Family, this American Spring is nothing new. Nothing new whatsoever. Yesterday's broadcast, I want to go ahead. I've got it downloaded on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. Uploaded, downloaded, whatever. It's there. The archives are running. And, go ahead and download it and spread it around. Let's see what happens. I put a lot of stuff out yesterday. And I'll back up everything I said. And what I got to talk about today is a little complicated. I've been putting it together the past hour or so, you might say. But to show you what you're really involved in, what's really going on. Man, you're not being told this. It's not anybody else's fault on our level or maybe the lower level, the marching level. They don't know how this country really is organized. Even lawyers are not told at all. If they did, they wouldn't cock the hammer or the pistol and put it to their head. So they don't know the whole story, even lawyers out of Harvard. Now, they don't know the whole story. I don't care who they are. They knew the whole story and put the connect the dots. If they know the whole story, what's going on, and they're still doing what they're doing, taking that oath against the American people. Oh, yeah, they take an oath not to tell you the truth. But they don't know the whole story. To them, it's like putting a cocked pistol to their head and pulling the trigger, and they don't know it. They think they have something up on you. But they're being lied to also in Harvard. They have to be. Otherwise, they would expose it all. They would denounce the blood oath they took. They would renounce that oath they took at Harvard or Yale or wherever. It doesn't make any difference where. And they can renounce that blood oath. It's a blood oath. It's any oath against God, any oath against the American people, any oath of ill intent is a blood oath because it's going to be their blood and their blood. Is corrupted by taking an oath. The Bible strictly forbids taking an oath. So if they're so-called Christian or Catholic or some religion, whatever, and they're taking an oath to lie and to conceal the truth, then they're already, all the good deeds in the world will not get them the good graces of God. It works against them. So they do good deeds to make them feel better about themselves. Why would they feel bad about themselves? Because the Holy Spirit convicts them. That's why they have to do good deeds, because they feel that nagging drive of can't sleep or a burden. So if they could do a good deed or listen to Mozart, something, whatever, it makes them feel better about themselves, but it solves nothing. Because that nagging feeling comes back again. That nagging feeling, that's the Holy Spirit convicting their heart of the ill will they've conducted, they've done, and are going to do. Because God knows what they're going to do before they even know they're going to do it themselves. You'll never hide from God. It's impossible. If you don't believe in God, it doesn't make him go away. It just means you're in the dark. You can put an outhouse in the middle of a train track. And the train's coming and just jump in the outhouse and think because you're in the dark, it's going to stop the train? No. You got tenderwood coming up mixed in with your body. It's not going to stop that train. Hiding yourself in the dark won't stop the train from coming. It's on a bend in the road, too. The bend in the track. So the train doesn't have time to see and throw on the brakes. Putting a blindfold on and walking down the track the opposite way or an L.A. highway late at night wearing black and a blindfold. It's not going to protect you because you can't see the cars. You're just going to be roadkill. Family, we're on that track, man. We're going to have to do something about this. And it's supernatural what's going on today. Now, this American Spring, there's no way really to predict what's going to happen. I mean, anything can happen tomorrow. But it's not the first time. Not the first time at all. That the Illuminati's tried this. Remember Arab Spring? Remember Occupy Wall Street? Occupy Wall Street, the march on Wall Street and the camaraderie and all the people marching, weed, blah, 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 all that stuff. Carrying the signs and the police out there and all that stuff. Family, that was funded by the Rockefellers. Bundy is Illuminati. Family, it's all contrived and set up to see what you're going to do. To see who's going to show up. They have these instances in other countries like Ukraine, Chile, other places, to show you what can happen. To practice. Then they say, well, let's see Americans. What Americans are going to do? Are they completely fluoridated yeah, since 1900. Dumbed down, apathetic, complacent. How much so? Well, in the 1700s they weren't. 1830s they weren't. 1860s they weren't. 1917, 1914. The wars between 1914 and 1945 were planned before 1871. Did you hear what I said? Let that mill around in your head a little bit. They planned, knew they had to have wars between 1914 and 1945 were planned before the 1870s by the Illuminati. Then they wrote about the wars and lied about it in your so-called history books. Kolmogorov in Russia is just about another Arab Spring, sort of. American Spring. They branded him a traitor. He was a war hero, Russian. Nothing new under the sun. And then it dawns on you, maybe it's about the Bonus Army. I'm going to bring that up again today. I think it's necessary. I've sort of talked about this before, but I'm going to bring out new stuff today. That's how I do it. I lay the groundwork, which some of you, that's my regular listeners, have heard before. But then I put in new material. I go about it a different way. I bring out additional information, different connections. So this Operation America Spring, well, it's led by a Colonel Riley or something. And, you know, in America, we've been a captured operation for a long time. What was it in the very beginning? It was always freedom. That was the enemy. That was the, not the enemy per se, but American freedom, not the enemy, sorry. It was the trigger, was freedom. It's always been freedom. So that means you got to put the country in bondage. It follows 8 steps. I've talked about this before. Tyler has written about it. One named Tyler back in the 1800s, 19th century. T-Y-L-E-R. From Democracy to Dictatorship, or Dictatorship to Democracy. Yeah, Democracy to Dictatorship. And on the average, it's 250 years of pre-planning. Yeah, 2 centuries. And a half. Sometimes it works sooner, sometimes later. Depends on their objectives and how they achieve them. As they maneuver the population. This is all planned ahead. This is a fact. Feminism even plays a part of it, as was funded by the Rockefellers. There's a lot to do with breaking up the country. The people involved in feminism, the lowest level, don't understand this. You can poo-poo it all you want, but the evidence is clear. You can get in the outhouse on the train track if you want to and close the door and be in the dark. You can't if you want to. You're still going to get hit by the train. All you want, you can go to another broadcast, listen to it now if you want to, but that ain't going to change the facts. And we're heading toward, now more than ever, a fruition of the New World Order. Now more than any century we've ever existed. Now we're heading down the final stretch. You know why I can say that? Because they have the Illuminati, the Freemasons, the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, the hierarchy, etc., are now exposing their underbelly. They're exposing their evil, aren't they not? They're showing you the worthlessness of government, exactly like they planned in the lectures of 1901. Now they're showing you the evil. Do you notice every decade or two, every two decades, you ever notice that, first of all, it was liberty, Declaration of Independence and fight for liberty and all that stuff. Then it was slavery and states' rights. Always had some reason in the Civil War. And then it was Bonus Army, it was pre-World War II, Bono's army was supposed to trigger a dictatorship by Roosevelt. FDR had planned a dictatorship. I got the quotes from him directly. 1930s. But then, when that didn't really work out so well, as they already planned World War II, World War II fell apart for them. They still had it, but we never entered into a New World Order, which was planned. They had the maps for it. The 10 nations were of the world were divided. It's all set up to go, but it fell apart as far as the New World Order. Who were the enemies then? Well, it was the Nazis and the fascists and the communists later, but the Nazis and the fascists. And then the Japanese. And America bonded together, did we not? Then they had the Edward Bernays, fight for freedom, and all this and all that. How many veterans died in that war? It was all set up by the secret societies. I already told you that communism was set up by Adam Weishaupt in 1776. Passed on through the almost a generation later to Manzini, Italian, Illuminati, to Clinton Roosevelt, 1841, wrote a document, Science of Government, founded on natural law, passed that on to Karl Marx to test him to write up the Communist Manifesto, and that's the thesis. The antithesis was Karl Ritter was assigned to write the fascist program, the fascist theology and ideology, to be used in the 20th century to foment wars, and it was done. The Indians were targeted in the 1870s. The samurai warriors were targeted in the 1860s and 1870s, both by the Rothschilds, to eliminate the samurai warrior in Japan and to eliminate the Indians in the 1870s, heading on to 1897, the false flag of the sinking of the Maine, to justify spending to establish a standing army for the Spanish-American War. That was the purpose of this sinking of the Maine, which was a fraud. The Illuminati murdered all those aboard the Maine that died to justify military spending to establish the United States as a pit bull dog for the Vatican to collect debt. Confirmed, Major General Smedley D. Butler, 1932, wrote a treatise called War's a Racket, talks about how he became a gangster for Americans, American government, and American corporations to collect debt to establish control. In the Banana Wars, early 1900s, gearing up and sharpening up the teeth of the American military, and all those soldiers, all those military, thinking they're doing the right thing, we've all been lied to. Leads into 1914. Who is the enemy then? The Germans, the Huns. Later is Nazism. America still bonded together and fought, right? Notice how that works. We had the nuclear family. We bound together. We had the sovereignty. That's what they wanted. They needed that. And after 1917, a lot of things happened there, but 1819, then, of course, the CFR is formed and all kinds of stuff there, but a set-up depression, 1921. J.P. Morgan established a mini-depression, 1921, to scare the daylights out of Americans. And then 1921, the same time frame, he then comes out as a hero, as a dialectic, to placate us into 1929. And so, we get through World War I, League of Nations, that was establishment of the one world government. And in that period of time, you might find this very interesting. Between 1913 and 1921, there's a conversation between Colonel Mandel House and Woodrow Wilson, his dupe. And this conversation was logged in Woodrow Wilson's personal diary. And I got it here quoted. In 1921, somewhere between 1913 and 1921, the diary says this, quote, "Very soon, every American will be required to register their biological property, and that's you and their children, in a national system designed to keep track of the people that will operate under the ancient system of pledging. By such methodology, we can compel people to submit to our agenda, which will affect our security as a charge back for our fiat paper currency. Every American will be forced to register or suffer being able to work and earn a living. They will be our chattel as property. And we will hold the security interest over them forever. By operation of the law merchant under the scheme of secured transactions, Americans, in other words, by unknowingly or unwittingly delivering the bills of lading, that's your birth certificate, family. Delivering your bills of lading, birth certificate, to us will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent, secured by their pledges. They will be stripped of their rights and given a commercial value designed to make us a profit, and they will be none the wiser. For not one man in a million could ever figure our plans. And if by accident one or two would figure it out, we have an arsenal of plausible deniability. After all, This is the only logical way to fund government, by floating liens and debts to the registrants in the form of benefits and privileges. This will inevitably reap us huge profits beyond our wildest expectations and leave every American a contributor to this fraud, which we will call social insurance. Without realizing it, every American will unknowingly be our servant. However, begrudgingly, the people will become helpless and without hope for their redemption, and we will employ the high office of presidency of our dummy corporation, United States of America Incorporated, to foment this plot against America," unquote. Now, that was between a conversation between Colonel Mandel House, who helped form the Council of Foreign Relations, remember what I've said here, to Woodrow Wilson, who calls Mandel House his alter ego. Mandel House was a Luciferian. He was a Satanist, Mandel House was. Now, you can believe in religion or supernatural or not or whatever, or you can get in that outhouse and close the door and things just go away. But these people that form this believe in Satan. They believe in Lucifer, and they worship, do incantations, wear those black robes, and sacrifice children. These men are the most evil on the face of this planet, and virtually every president that attends Bohemian Grove are a part of this evil intent, every single mother's son of them and woman's daughter. Now you know what you're dealing with. Whether you believe in the supernatural or religion or whatever, it makes no difference whatsoever. That train's still coming, and you're still in the outhouse with the door shut. Because it's a fact. Now, you got that. Now, you're probably thinking, golly, shazam. Well, besides that, you're trying to wonder, well, what commercial value are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you. The day you're born, and you start crying for mama, and whatever you see in front of you, you put your little footsies on that little birth certificate, that bill of lading, that goes to the IMF. That's your bill of lading. And that little birth certificate is bonded for $1 million that goes to Switzerland in your name. And then later, they even give you a serial number. Now, don't that make you feel important? You got a bill of lading and a serial number, just like your computer has got a serial number. So do you. It's called Social Security number. Oh, well, duh. How about that? And now they're going to put that Social Security number on your tattooed microchip on your hand. How about that? It's called the mark of the beast. Little by little. How about them apples? Now, that means from the day you're born, you have an $1 million account in your name, bonded by that birth certificate, passed to the IMF, who own you. Now, that $1 million, accepted for value, is there to pay off your debts, because you're slaves. Slaves since 1929. That's when it began. Every American citizen was, in fact, in 1929 until 1999, was pledged as collateral for the bankruptcy that FDR declared. He took us off the gold standard. Not Nixon, FDR did. That means you have no value in your money. This thing called dollar bills, $10, that's nothing but paper. I call it an IOU on steroids. It's worth nothing. Now, Americans didn't know about this until about 2006. And then there was certain sovereign Americans and all this became educated on how to draw off on that money. And that became a problem about 2010 because people were getting their houses paid off using this social insurance to pay off because they're slaves. So $1 million was collecting interest. I've alluded to this before. Because you see, when the military brings a soldier, marine, or sailor, whatever, in, they have a life insurance policy on them. How about that? Above and beyond what they say, the pittance they give their dependents. Pittance for dependents. That sometimes they don't even get anyway. But the military, the government, has a life insurance policy on your veterans that they collect when they die. Plus the money that goes in on the social insurance. Take a lot of money when a military personnel dies. They get a whole lot of money that becomes the government's that you don't know about. We got a deficit? Hey, are your head starting to spin a little bit? Y'all writing this down, or you just want to get all worn out and leave? Again, you can stay in the outhouse if you want to. Or you can get out of the outhouse and start opening up your eyes. I don't recall the man's name off the top of my head right now, but about 2006, 2007, 2008, he was a expert. He was a sovereign citizen, all that sovereign stuff going on. And he was teaching seminars on how to draw down on this accepted for value, how to draw off on your account at the Treasury, how to draw off on that and pay off your house and your debt and your loans and all that. He was teaching how to do accepted for value and to draw off on it. He's one of those that figured it out, and several others. They murdered him and his son not long after, because people were successfully drawing off on that remedy of paying off their debt through this social insurance I've just told you about. They murdered him, set him up. I got actual photos of where they murdered him and his 16-year-old son in a hell of fire like a couple years ago. I can't remember his name right off the top of my head, but I don't have time to look for it right now. But they had to shut that down by 2010 because people were figuring it out. See, they had to have a remedy. But the trick was they just never told you about it. So when a veteran dies, They get a whole lot of money. They get that money at the Swiss bank account that they've had since the day that veteran was born. They get a life insurance policy. You see, all this is, I only get the beginning of it. I'm just trying to give you some idea of what's involved here. I've talked about who the Illuminati really is. So let's go back now to the American Spring, Operation American Spring, and Liberty, Marching for Liberty, begins tomorrow, Friday. Family, all these disasters that's happened this past 2 weeks, the ferry, the fires in California, the water, the fire, the avalanche and earthquake, the coal mining accident that happened here in Turkey, the water down in Des in Florida, Alabama, the tornadoes of wind, HAARP causes these things. People tell you no, that's a lie. It does. Technology. I've explained that before. I'm not going to talk about that exactly right now. The Council of Foreign Relations at the highest level, that is the Illuminati. Now, let's go back to suicides, for example. I got a warning for you. You veterans better listen to what I'm telling you. You have, if I mentioned before, the Council of Foreign Relations is the Illuminati. We know that to be true. I explained that yesterday in detail. Slam dunk. No doubt about it. At the highest level, the mid-level of CFR don't know what I'm telling you. Even though they work for them, they don't understand it because they don't want to believe it, that they're involved in this total evil. They don't have any comprehension of it. Now, there is 22 to 26 suicides per day of our American veterans. This is being orchestrated. You want the details, you can go to my website, watchmanforjesus.com, and you'll find the suicide conspiracy, part one, part two. And then from there, expand your investigation and challenge what I've got there. Please challenge it. I have no problem with that. And you'll have a reason. You'll have an understanding of how they're orchestrating these suicides. By the ELF technology and attacks on our soldier to reduce our effectiveness so that the Europeans and the Chinese that own our credit, own our debt, can take over without any resistance. That's the big picture. That's what they've planned on doing. And they knew that our American veterans would kick their butts back to the countries they came from if we were in full steam ahead, if we were all working together. But they have effectively divided us. Homosexuals in the military, homosexuals not in the military, you're divided. Bringing women to frontline units. That was planned in 1977-78 by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I got her report. Don't tell me no. You can tell me no, you will lose. She submitted a report to the Civil Rights Commission on how to divide the military, how to change the roles, how to effectively reduce the effectiveness of the U.S. military by bringing women to frontline combat units, assign affirmative action to equal the number. And this was accomplished 30 years later or so by Panetta when he lifted the ban. It's all working out. And you had military personnel that were trained, that were veterans that said, I'm getting out of here, man. I'm leaving. That's what they wanted to happen. So you've got 15,000 male-to-male sexual assaults in about 2011, 2012. 12,000 female. Family, I'd call that a division. And you Joint Chief of Staff, you're pathetic. You're absolutely pathetic. You're cowards. Every mother, son of you up there in D.C., in New York, and wherever you are. Shame on you. Some of us know what you're up to, and we pray against you because you're secret societies. You follow Lucifer. You take the blood oath as documented, like the Jesuits, the murdering Jesuits do also. You will not succeed. There will be a small measure of success that will come crashing down upon your world. You just don't know that yet. But in the meantime, those of us who pray for the truth, those of us that pray for a coming together through the Holy Spirit, you got some work to do. A lot of work to do. Well, the suicides, 22 to 26 per day. Now, it's not a mistake. Being orchestrated. You have an advocate up in D.C. called Paul Rykoff or something like that. They formed some kind of organization to look into the suicides and so forth. They're blaming the psychiatrist. No, the psychiatrists are shoeshine boys like the bankers are. Psychiatrists do what the Joint Chief of Staff tell them to do. Oh, they're culpable. They are guilty as sin. No pun intended. But they're trying plausible deniability to put it on the psychiatrists. They're out of control. No, they're not out of control. They're told what to do by the highest level of generals, politicians, the highest level secret society members. They're told what to do. Well, Rykoff, Paul Rykoff, he's a self-professed member of the Council of Foreign Relations. Paul Rykoff, it's documented. It's not something that you have to hire a private investigator to find out. They openly tell you, I'm a member of the Illuminati. Now, that's like having the three little pigs that's going to court, and one of their lawyers is a big bad wolf. Start the furnaces. Turn on the barbecue. You see, they're trying to say that nasal spray, they get this psychotic, some kind of nasal spray that you spray up their nose, and it's got some way it's going to reduce the number of suicides. Family, it's got microchips, it's got nanobots in that thing. This is what's going to cause it, not take it away. The antidepressants I proved yesterday is what sets them up for suggestion and breakdown of their moral, conscious control comes from the nose sprays. The antidepressants, the psychotropic drugs. They want to freebase it in the nose, not just take it by pills with microchips in them. Right now, if you don't believe me, you look up FDA approved microchips in pills. There you go. They did that a couple years ago. Y'all getting my meaning here? Now, if you have a march tomorrow and they decide to up the ante, you've got 7,800 veterans suing DOD and CIA on septal implants in the nose. That's for the microchips in the nose, in the head. 7,800 lawsuits, don't lie. I got the patents, testimony. Studies go back to 1950, 1960. This is, just because you hear about it now, it doesn't mean they haven't been doing it for 50 years or more. They've just been keeping it secret. Now you see what you're dealing with. How deep this goes. Arab Spring tomorrow. Or not Arab Spring, American Spring. The march tomorrow. Is it going to happen? If it does, well, they just definitely one thing for sure, they're going to be using software, and they'll take the cameras and the system's been set up since 1970s. Facial software, facial recognition. So every single face that they see in those cameras will go in a data bank, in a monstrous computer, and will be cataloged. Everybody's got a file. Got your DNA signature, your DNA, you can be tracked from space with your DNA, tracked from space with your DNA, you understand this. The microchips enhances your DNA signature that can be tracked from space and controlled. The Holy Spirit is your defense. Acknowledging the attacks is your defense. Knowing it can happen, the voices they hear in the head, it's technology. Veterans, you're not going crazy. It's not post-traumatic stress. It's baloney. It's those psychotropic drugs they're making you take. It's the septal implants, the vaccines with the nanobot technology, nanobots in those vaccines. It changes DNA. Now, I talked a lot about this yesterday. I can see that I'm probably going to go into this again tomorrow. I got a lot to talk about today, and I just feel like the time is slipping away. They're going to march tomorrow, so it says. Let me talk about that for a while. And I'm going to try to keep this in order because what I've got to talk about, I don't want people to get lost here because I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you. But one of my concerns about this is, you know, as proven now, that the Bundy fiasco already set up, the Bundys are dirty. The Bundys, man, look up Bundy and tell me that's a coincidence that Bundy is not Illuminati and they're not part of this. Well, that's a different branch of our family. It's not, we're not Illuminati. Really, they're the ones that lasted since 1993 and all the other ranchers are gone. How come nobody rose a stunk and the first rancher got bought out? They waited till everybody's bought out or whatever happened and then the Bundys hang on and hang on and hang on. And the government don't want their money since 1993? You got to be kidding me. They waited as an ace in the hole till they could use this as their dialectic, is what they did. To test. To see if you're responsive. You think that that Bundy situation, which was set up like a movie, was scripted out, is not coincidental with March we have coming up? You got to be kidding me. That these attacks by these MJTF policemen and infiltrated in police departments of shooting unarmed folks and killing dogs and family pets and beating this little old lady up and all this stuff hitting the news to make us really angry. And then you got the call by certain hosts here and there that we live in a tyrannical government. We got to rise up and do what? And have who take over? Who's going to do that? I mean, you even got religious leaders today that are calling for armed revolution, and they want God to help us, huh? Isn't that something? It's all coming out about the same time. Rick Joyner is a good example. Now, excuse me, a bad example. But a good example of the tyranny that I'm talking about, because he works on their side. This one named Rick Joyner and his general friend, Boykin. They're both Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. Knights of Malta, the both of them are, taking a blood oath against America. Work for the Vatican. I mean, right there proves you've been infiltrated. When you got the ones on your side that work for the other side openly. It's not a problem finding them receiving their certificates for Knights of Malta with their jackets on, with their little tags. I shook one of their hands one time when we went down to a conference, a Boynton and Rick Joyner. I went down there about 3 years ago. I didn't know then what I was dealing with, but I saw on their lapel the Knights of Malta. I said, boy, that looks familiar. That was back in, I don't know, 2006, 2007, or something like that. Started doing research on that, and I said, oh, my gosh. I couldn't wash my hand long enough to get this Satan out of it. I'm not real politically correct. I really won't be ever, but, well, I don't know. Let's see what we got here.
So things are getting nutty in D.C., and people are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. on a recent TV episode, it's funny, but it's not funny because he's really serious. And he's connected up with some, like, military people. He said this: there's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny, is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I've started telling friends for a long time, that no election is going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government. And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Oak, listed directly below the chair and the president, is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oak Initiative's own website. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army.
That's unbelievable. And you know what? The hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill, period. It's not, thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of, they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near, and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like...
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, goody, grab the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
There. Now, both of those are, Boykin and Joyner, are Knights of Malta, very, very high level. Family, there's a problem here. Anybody see a problem? I hope I'm not the only one. There's rats in the belfry. And it's in your back door. Ron Paul cannot be trusted. He's a Rosicrucian, Freemasons, Secret Society, whatever, all connected, all in the same bag. And they're going to mess over their own brotherhood of the lower level ones. That's why I bring this up, to warn them that the ones over them are lying to them. You know, I talked yesterday about, this is ironic, about Michael Aquino. You all recall yesterday, the founder of Set, the murderer of children, and he controls MK Ultra. He's in the Pentagon. Satanists. Well, did you all know that, for example, that General Paul Valley, Valley, is involved in OAS, and General Valley is connected to Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino, avowed Satanist and organizer of the Temple of Set. General Valley, Valley, is claimed that he's not involved, but there's reports that he is involved. Reports are that the organization running the operation is poorly managed and poorly organized, and what I believe is people that believe it's poorly organized don't understand the details that's being put before us. They don't want it organized. If they're being targeted, look out. People are not being required to leave their weapons at home. Instead, people are being asked to bring their bug out bags with them. That should heighten the alert stage pretty much. You got the Bundy situation that gave them false sense of security. It's like cheese in a mousetrap. We only had 200 feds. We have 30,000 militia. Really? Now, just to explain to you all what they've done to the military. The militia are also infiltrated, vastly infiltrated. So they leave a facade that we have more of this than us, per se, than them. That's a lie. It's kind of like if you're being ambushed by a small group, you have a larger force, and a small group attack you. And you say, go after them, chase them down. Big mistake, big mistake. You don't go chasing down a small group, and when they turn around, turn tail and run. No, sir, let them go. Because what they're trying to do is lead you into a major ambush. Either an L-shaped ambush or, which is more than likely. So when they come up with 200 feds, they have these little mimes, M-E-M-E, whatever, on Facebook. And they have these little cartoon-like things, I don't know, photos or something, whatever. They Photoshop. And they showed militia, like 30,000 all around, and the little circle in the middle, 200 feds. I said, you've got to be kidding me. That's like mouse in a mousetrap. To give a fake sense of security to our veterans that's involved in this, and patriots and whatever. It's like, sure, there's more of you than us. Come on, come on, come on. Now, there's something called militia reinforcements. With all the false flag attempts that have occurred over the past few years, you think that these forces are going to pass up an opportunity like this? I don't know. How far are they going to go with this? They've been trying to take us down since 1945. That's where Korea and Vietnam was all about. I've talked about this in detail in the past. Is there something new about them trying to establish martial law? Now, regular listeners, you know where I'm headed, don't you? Quote, FDR, March 4th, 1939, behind closed doors, in front of three congressional committees, never meant to be revealed to the American public, was revealed around 10 years after the quote by Senator Lundeen, gave it to William G. Carr. 1955, he finished a book. 1950, around that time frame, Senator Lundeen gave him this quote that he had taken down. As Senator Lundeen, L-U-N-D-E-E-N, was a member of one of these committees. Ways and Means Committee, Special War Finance Committee, Secret Audience with the Military Appropriation Committee. Behind closed doors and never to be revealed to the American public, FDR, the real FDR, representative of all other presidents, except for the ones assassinated, said the following in 1939, 2 years before Pearl Harbor, and 6 years after a military takeover was planned in the U.S. government in 1932-33. Roosevelt, in 1939, 2 years before Pearl Harbor, said the following, and I quote, "I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people ahead of all instruments. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war and war only. To hell with American people as far as a democracy is concerned. It doesn't exist. It never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I'm going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. Aliens, all the aliens possible. And in the last analysis, then declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My New Deal is a failure, and I know it, but no one else will tell me. I must discontinue my present activities and program," unquote. 1939. This is about 14 years after they'd planned Pearl Harbor between him, Churchill, and a Japanese elite, planned Pearl Harbor in the 1920s. Now you understand. Only 5 years later, Norman Mattoon Thomas, Socialist Party candidate for President of the United States, Norman Thomas said in a 44 speech, quote, "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened." He went on to say, "I no longer need to run as a presidential candidate for the Socialist Party. The Democrat Party has adopted our platform." Now, that's Democrats at the highest level. But Republicans, don't go pushing your chest out, because you're just as evil as the rest. Martin Luther King, a great man, he knew what was going on. That's why the Pentagon, the Illuminati, the Jesuits murdered JFK, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Bobby Kennedy, because they would not go through with this. They worked against the Illuminati. Martin Luther King said, and I quote, "We must face the appalling fact that we have been betrayed by both the Democratic Republican parties. So what's the role of the Republican Party in this? That they work together to counsel of foreign relations. They set up the wars to kill your soldiers and Marines, sailors and Air Force, whatever, all the rest. They set up the wars. The socialist part works inside the United States to set up the socialist agenda. What's the connecting? The secret societies, the blood oaths of Freemasonry. Not once have I said anything about Islamic fundamentalism or Zionism. They're nothing but tools of the Vatican. We're talking socialism, 1944. We're talking FDR, 1939. You say, well, that's 50, 60, 70 years ago. 1989. Roger Kimball said, educator said, and I quote, "With a few notable exceptions, our most prestigious liberal arts colleges and universities have installed the entire radical Marxist and humanist menu at the center of the humanities curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels," unquote. 2 years before that, educator Herbert London of New York University declared, and I quote, "The strides made by Marxism at American universities in the last 2 decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by its Marxist socialism preachment, and almost every faculty now counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar," unquote. Family, that proves the continuity that leads up until the 15th of May, 2014. Slam dunk. JFK tried to warn us. He said, and I quote, 1963, in a 19-minute speech, consolidated, begin quote, "For we are opposed around the world by monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of an invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations," unquote. And I said to y'all yesterday, more specifically, banking, business, military, politics, education, media, all religions, all the intelligence agencies, medicine, drug companies, illegal drugs, organized crime are controlled by the Illuminati. They lose on the supernatural realm. They're controlled, set up by the Black Brotherhood, the Red Brotherhood, and the Great White Brotherhood. And don't link that up with the color of skin either. Has to do with color, vibrational, something another. I'm not going into that right now. Stop. Family, you're dealing with a supernatural force. You're dealing with secret societies. It's not Islam. It's not Zionism. The Vatican is also used as a tool. Now, I've got 30 minutes to go here, and I want to get in something called the Wesak Festival, just to touch on it. But before I go there, we have that thing tomorrow. If I don't get to that Wesak part today, then I'll cover it tomorrow. But you've got simultaneously this article is coming out about Interpol to arrest and remove Obama. And here I'm telling you already, there was, what a disparity this is. You had complete and total fraud with Woodrow Wilson, complete and total fraud with that FDR, complete and total fraud with Nixon. They planned on to kill Spiro Agnew with a unit from LAPD in September 1972. He was impeached, but they brought in his cousin, Gerald Ford, to take him out of it, to pardon him. That's the game they played. That's how they do it, to placate the American public. In a poll to arrest and remove Obama, I did a study on the impeachment proceedings and all that in America. You got to be kidding me. You've had Bush that did some of the same ugly things. I'm not pulling for any of the presidents. I don't trust any of them. They're all a bunch of baloney. Every doggone one of them. But you see how the game they play. This is what I'm trying to show you. I'm not supporting any of them. Not one of them. But it's such a stupid game. You got Reagan set up a military coup in 1984-87. Jack Brooks tried to uncover it in a... He questioned Oliver North, who's the Knights of Malta, by the way, in the Iran-Contra affair. He exposed the plot to suspend the American Constitution in 1984-87. There's nothing new here. So now we're going through this, let's go after Obama with Interpol, and all this list of charges and all this stuff going on is almost ridiculous. Has this ever happened before? I don't know. Let's see if it has. How about 1932?
In 1932, Washington was under siege. The Capitol was surrounded by over 10,000 unemployed veterans of World War I from all over the country. Their only assets were the bonus certificates they'd been given after the war, which promised a cash bonus sometime in the future. They needed it now.
At the end of May 1932, nearly 10,000 bonus marchers occupied the nation's capital, and tens of thousands more were on their way.
I get my bonus, and I'm going to wait for till I get it if I have to wait till 1945.
What that brought you to Washington?
I ought to beat the Undertaker, spend the money before the Undertaker gets it.
I know who's made this country worth living in.
That's General Butler.
You fellas. Look, makes me so damn mad a whole lot of people speak of you as tramps. By God, they didn't speak of you as tramps in 1917 and 18.
No.
Take it from me. This is the greatest demonstration of Americanism we've ever had. Pure Americanism.
President Hoover was left to deal with the veterans when the Senate rejected their demands. The marchers had stayed, camped out in central Washington.
On July 16th, the last day Congress was in session, Washington was on edge. Thousands of angry veterans surrounded the Capitol. Near midnight, the 72nd Congress adjourned. Congressmen left through back doors and underground tunnels to avoid confrontations. The situation had come to a head. The president ordered the evacuation of the veterans from downtown Washington.
Now you bring in the troops.
When MacArthur moved his troops to the affected area, he knew exactly what he was going to do. And he adorned himself in his dress uniform along with his major aide, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
The force stepped off at 4:30 p.m. More than 200 cavalrymen spread out across Constitution and Pennsylvania avenues. Behind them came 400 infantrymen, followed up by tanks and armored vehicles.
The cavalrymen, one of whom is Major Patton, have got their sabers out.
The soldiers donned gas masks and, without warning, began hurling gas grenades at the veterans. troops advanced, some jabbing with bayonets.
It's war. The greatest concentration of fighting troops in Washington since 1865.
I knew something was going to happen, that they might be attacked. And I had a press card, so I passed the police lines, and then I saw the soldiers advancing into the camp. And when confronted with this, the men all stood there, said, "Stand firm as long as you can." And they started throwing tear gas.
The tear gas was just burning my face. I was trailing behind my dad, and he kept hollering, "Come on, boy, come on, boy."
Marchers were choking from the gas, just like the battlefields in France.
And so they're being forced out of their shacks by smoke bombs and tear gas, hurled by the troops who have been called out by the President of the United States.
I'd never seen anything like it. They systematically went down the line, burned up all the tents and all the possessions of the people there. I was thinking of Herbert Hoover when this happened, because his election was in 3 months. I thought this would be the finish of Hoover.
The orders of the President must be obeyed. And the roaring flames sound the death knell to the fantastic Bonus Army. In the shadow of the beautiful dome of the Capitol of the United States of America.
The veterans did not believe the country for which they had fought would ignore the plight into which the Depression had placed them. Many did not believe that United States troops would take the field against them.
By early evening, most of the marchers had been driven across a drawbridge that led to their main camp.
The president does not want MacArthur to cross the bridge, and MacArthur disregards the order. Eisenhower later says that he saw this happen. MacArthur says, "I cannot bother with pieces of paper during a military operation." And so he crosses the bridge.
All through the camp were scenes of panic.
My dad says, "Let's get the hell out of here. The soldiers are going to kill us."
Then troops began to set fire to their wooden shacks. One reporter wrote, "The blaze was so big it lit the whole sky. A nightmare come to life." The president looked out a window of the White House in the direction of the fire, then retired for the night.
And the roaring flames sound the death knell to the fantastic Bonus Army that ends so disastrously in the shadow of the Capitol of the United States of America.
The morning after the Bonus rout, public sentiment took a dramatic turn against Herbert Hoover. If the expulsion needed a human face, it came in the person of Joe Angelo, whose story was published across the nation.
Joe Angelo gets the Distinguished Service Cross for saving Patton's life on the battlefield. The next morning, Angelo comes to the burned-out field to see Patton. And Patton says, "Take this man away. I don't want to see this man."
The BEF was broken up. The men returned to some city or other, there to roam the streets, hopelessly seeking work or to shuffle in bread lines. There they remain, crying examples not of the need for the Bonus, but of the need for a new American system.
Amazing, isn't it? That was 1932, at the same time that General Butler wrote a treatise called War's a Racket. So around a year later, they'd planned a military coup using the same American veterans, 500,000 of them, to take over the U.S. government and establish a new system. Except what they didn't know was FDR was in on it, and they were going to catch General Butler. He was offered $60,000 to lead a revolt against FDR. And what they're going to do is catch him in the act and then declare martial law and declare dictatorship and General Butler a traitor. But General Butler blew the whistle to Congress. Now, you want to hear what he says to Congress? I'm going to play it for you. straight from his own mouth.
You can roughly locate any community somewhere along a scale running all the way from democracy to despotism. This man makes it his job to study these things.
Well, for one thing, avoid comfortable idea that the mere form of government can of itself safeguard a nation against despotism.
For big business, despotism was often a useful tool for securing foreign markets and pursuing profits. One of the U.S. Marine Corps' most highly decorated generals, Smedley Darlington Butler, by his own account, helped pacify Mexico for American oil companies, Haiti and Cuba for National City Bank, Nicaragua for the Brown Brothers brokerage, the Dominican Republic for sugar interests, Honduras for U.S. fruit companies, and China for Standard Oil. General Butler's services were also in demand in the United States itself in the 1930s, as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt sought to relieve the misery of the Depression through public enterprise and tougher regulations on corporate exploitation and misdeeds.
More power to you, President Roosevelt. The entire country's behind you, thrilled with hope and patriotism.
But the country was not entirely behind the populist president. Large parts of the corporate elite despised what Roosevelt's New Deal stood for. And so, in 1934, a group of conspirators sought to involve General Butler in a treasonous plan.
The plan as outlined to me was to form an organization of veterans, to use as a bluff or as a club at least, to intimidate the government.
But the corporate cabal had picked the wrong man. Butler was fed up with being what he called a gangster for capitalism.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship. The upshot of the whole thing was that I was supposed to lead an organization of 500,000 men, which would be able to take over the functions of government.
A Congressional Committee ultimately found evidence of a plot to overthrow Roosevelt. According to Butler, the conspiracy included representatives of some of America's top corporations, including J.P. Morgan, DuPont, and Goodyear Tire. As today's chairman of Goodyear Tire knows, for corporations to dominate government, a coup is no longer necessary.
Corporations have gone global. And by going global, the governments have lost some control over corporations, regardless of whether the corporation can be trusted or cannot be trusted. Governments today do not have over the corporations the power that they had and the leverage that they had 50 or 60 years ago. And that's a major change. So governments have become powerless compared to where they were before.
Capitalism today commands the towering heights and has displaced politics and politicians as the new high priests and reigning oligarchs of our system. So capitalism and its principal protagonists and players, corporate CEOs, have been accorded unusual power and access. This is not to deny the significance of government and politicians, but these are the new high priests.
You have some sort of a separation between the Illuminati in Europe and the Illuminati in America. Both of them are evil. There's no good guys here. None of them. Some of them think they're good and they're doing God's work or whatever, but they're not. It's self-serving on both sides of the ocean. However, it does appear because during Nixon's attempt at a dictatorship, 1972 to 1974, that Spiro Agnew was forced upon him. He wanted Rockefeller is his vice president. He was not allowed that, so they forced Spiro Agnew upon him, and Spiro Agnew was going to be the sacrificial lamb. And they were going to use, when he spoke at a Republican convention, ooh, I have trouble with that sometimes, convention, there you go, in September 1972 or 73 in San Diego, There's a plan that when he got ready to speak, and while speaking, a sniper or two was going to murder Spiro Agnew while he was talking on national TV. I got this Glasshouse tapes, Lewis Tackwood, 1973. And so the plan was to assassinate Spiro Agnew, who was a sacrificial lamb. And then a riot would break on the floor that would take the tension away, then kill Spiro Agnew with a unit from LAPD. Every major police department has a super secret domestic intelligence unit that assassinates, murders, kills, whatever the CIA wants them to do. Every major police department has one. Oh, yeah. And so following that, several days after this planned assassination, there would be bombings blamed on the liberals, and then Nixon would have the justification to declare martial law. Well, he was working with a personal friend of his named General Cushman of the Marine Corps, later to be commandant, and they were going to move 10,000 U.S. Marines into D.C., surround D.C., take control. But Schlesinger had heard about this plan, and he had actually investigated how quickly they could move the 82nd Airborne from Fort Bragg to counterbalance the Marines if Nixon carried out this plan. So there's a separation there of our government versus the European government about who's going to be the New World Order big honcho. There's nothing new under the sun. Komonov, they got him. General Butler, he blew the whistle on him. He has offered $60,000 to lead a revolt against FDR. You heard his personal testimony in a vintage film that I found. You can find it too if you want to look. But don't you find it odd that in 1776 we had liberty against Britain? Yeah. All right. Then you had the Mexican War. We all sovereigns stood together. Alamo was a false flag. It was set up. They wanted them people to die. Our government did. To be the false flag. Oh, yeah. Alamo. Oh, yeah. Fort Sumter, another false flag. And each one of these periods, 1789, 1859, 1929, were periods of bankruptcy of 70-year bank cycles. Now you got it. And property was used as collateral. D.C., 1789, was given to the Europeans, bankers. 70 years, 1859. 13 states was given to Europeans, collateral for that bank loan. 1929, now, what's collateral? Every American citizen was pledged as collateral by FDR, by the bankers in 1929. That's a social insurance. Now you get it? 70 years goes by. 1999 was supposed to be the New World Order. It didn't happen, did it? Nope. Same year that Jones was doing December 31st, 1999, that lie about Putin launching an attack. World War III was supposed to take place in 1999. Their fake World War III, the one that's going on today, the fake World War III at the Ukraine, that was planned to take place in 1999. It didn't happen. Instead, we've run out of collateral, man. So what are we going to use? Stimulus money. In comes China, 1993 to 1999. In comes China, starts buying up property for a stimulus plan to get us through the next, because we're a colony of England. And no more collateral, man. No more collateral. So they gave up foreign trade zones. And China bought out American birth certificates. Now y'all get it. Y'all. And then we come to the social insurance I talked about a little while ago. In May the 20th, 2010, there's two West Memphis, Arkansas police officers were killed and two county sheriffs were wounded in two linked shootouts involving anti-government sovereign citizen ties with Ohio and Florida. Sovereign citizen Jerry Kane was a guru in the movement who traveled across the country and his teenage son, Joseph, holding seminars in which they would teach his anti-government conspiracy and pseudo-legal solutions of how to get your money from the government, the sovereign citizen, the money I told you all about that's accepted for value. He was succeeding in getting people to get their money. They murdered both of them, set them up, and set up their own police officers to die as justification to go ahead and shoot them out. That's a long story short. They're linked up to sovereign citizens and all that, and this, that, and the other, and you know the story there. All this is connected, family. I'm leaving out so much material that I wish I could cover, but I don't have the time. You know, I'm sitting here trying to think of what more I could tell you to try to get this across to you of what you're really dealing with, and the militia and the marchers and the so-called generals that's supposed to be intelligent are not doing a proper threat assessment of what's going on. The security stinks. I don't care what kind of security matters they've got and all this. They don't know what they're dealing with. They don't understand how high this goes. They don't understand about the ELF transmission. They don't understand about the microwave technology. They don't understand about the psychotropic drugs. They don't know these suicides per day, how significant that really is. President Billy Bob Clinton continued and expanded George Bush's surrender American policy. Increased number of foreign troops, including Russia's Spetsnaz, along with foreign military equipment that had been entering the United States for decades and decades to serve as a UN occupation force. Thanks to Nixon, 1972, they divided our country up into 10 regions that are now encompassed under FEMA, because they weren't able to carry it out, as I mentioned before. Executive Order 11647, Nixon. Executive Order 11731, Nixon. Executive Order 11495 to establish his dictatorship. He failed. Reagan failed. They all failed, but they still planned it out and moved it up to FEMA. 1987.
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giuffrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giuffrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giuffrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe that it was.
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the church.
Well, there you go. Vladimir Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, a student of Adam Weishaupt's teaching and planning. Lenin, you know Lenin, 1900s, early 1900s? That Lenin, same one. He said, and I quote, he was taught well, by the way. He said, and I quote, "The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension and rebellion, you will have repression and a dictatorship by consent." You know, the Great Depression was set up in the 1913. It was designed to make us hungry. The veterans were targeted to use them for this, what have you already heard about today? The Depression was set up for that reason, to foment a revolution and put us on a new world order that failed to happen. By 1943, didn't happen. Now you see how they work? Cicero Marcus Tullius, 42 B.C., said, and I quote, Tullius, yeah, that's what his name is, "A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and he carries his banners openly. But the traitor moves among those within the gates freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very hall of government itself. For the traitor appears not as a traitor. He speaks in the accents familiar to his victims. He wears their face and their garments. He appeals to the basis that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of a city. He infects the body politic so it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to be feared." Cicero Marcus Tullius, 42 B.C. That's what we have here, are the secret societies. Not Islam. It's a tool. Not fascism. It's gone, but not really. Not communism. It's hidden. Not Zionist, a tool created by the Vatican. Islam was created by the Vatican in the 6th century. Zionism was created by the Vatican in the 1897, Theodore Herzl. Now you get the idea how this is really operating. Tomorrow I want to talk about the Wesak Festival, which is very important. It is part of this agenda. Very much so. Because that's where the Brotherhood makes up their plans that they pass down to Bilderbergers and all the others. The Wesak Festival is one of the most evil, way beyond the Bohemian Grove. You see, I won't talk about that tomorrow because I don't want to get part into the Wesak Festival and then have to go to part two tomorrow. You need to hear the full thing. I won't go drag it out because some of you are not going to understand it. Not that you can't, but it's involved quite a bit in the Brotherhood's actual planning process and how they regear and how they tell the CFR what to do. Yeah. Oh, now you get it. At the highest level of governments is formed out of this Wesak Festival. It's very significant. Very, very significant. You have the Moon Festival that they have coming up. The Wesak Moon Festival, ironically enough, is May the 15th. That's today. Tomorrow, the March. A very powerful full moon it will be. Saint Germain is one of the members of the Brotherhood. Total evil. Sananda Emanuel, Lemuria, that worked with Helena Blavatsky in the 1870s. Family, this is all supernatural what's going on today. Total evil, beyond the imagination. if people don't understand this, it's, some of them cannot, will not be able to deal with this. Will not process in the mind. But they lose. Jesus Christ is the winner. Always has been. But us pulling away from him has opened up the door to hell. Now, when God allows it to happen, when even our own preachers that we trust is praying for a revolution, and they themselves are subject to Lucifer by their blood oath, the Knights of Malta, a little bit of disparity going on there, I do think. It's something called, talking out both sides of your mouth. Somehow it needs to be brought up to them. Need to be helped to task. And prayers. But family, it's coming round. It's coming around. Veterans, be careful tomorrow. And until people start praying and humbling themselves, 2 Chronicles 7:14, till that happens, it's not going to work. And if any kind of thing does work, just like we've been placated all along, just to give them more time, they'll placate us again. And bring on some secret society as a president or interim or like another modern day Kerensky. Just to placate us. That's what they do if they don't make their time schedules. They'll come up with some operation to placate us so they'll have more time to make up this plan of New World Order. Well, family, once it starts, once it really begins, then finally people will maybe seek the face of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And not let the fake period of prosperity fool them. But we'll know where the truth lies. Well, family, tonight, 7:30, I got Bible study. Remind you that we are played in different broadcasts in different places. Highportradio.net, highportradio.net with John Kirkler. Highportradio.net up in Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey. KBLU Radio also plays us, simulcasts. Denver, Colorado, I believe, or Colorado, and Blue Raven Network, KBLU Radio plays us. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. I've got some studies there. It's a very simple website. I mostly use it just as contact so people can hear me on my broadcast. But I do have timeline there of a study of HPV vaccination, what's really about that, suicide conspiracy. And it's very simple. But I still use it, and it's got a lot of information there in just that timeline. You're welcome to go there. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus, and we keep that up. Family, see you all tomorrow or tonight, 7:30 broadcast Bible study. Tomorrow, 4 to 6, we'll talk about the WESOC Festival in more detail, about what that thing really entails. People aren't exposing this. I'm going to expose it for what really is behind it. And we'll do that tomorrow, amongst some other things, and what news transpires. And, of course, that may be superseded by what may happen tomorrow, if anything. Of course, that would be the case. If something really goes down, then I'll talk about whatever happens. So all this is what's planned for tomorrow. Y'all have a good night. And once I sign off here, website will continue the 24-hour loop once I sign off from my broadcast today. That's how it works. So y'all have a good night, and God bless you. This is the Watchman signing off.
Then I fell down on my knees, and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.